because it hasn't been, I'm hoping it will be anyway in a few weeks. Right now it's not doing too well, but I'm here, you're here. But you know, we talk a good game. We talk a really good game in Christianity. Amen. You know, there's ball players that they call it smack. They talk a lot of smack. Yeah. They trash talk to each other on the field. And some of them are better trash talkers than they are football players. You know? And I think sometimes as Christians, sometimes we're better at saying everything a Christian is supposed to say than we are at actually living a Christian life and being an overcomer. I mean, I said something Wednesday. I said, heck, you know, we talk about overcoming an antichrist, but we can't even overcome our mouth. Oh, boy, that's exactly what happened. It was gasps. We keep giving people a piece of our mind. We keep gossiping and tattling on people. Did you know that gossip was considered in Jesus' day murder? Because you were preventing somebody from making a living. Because if Jackie had a bakery, and I talked about how Jackie was no good, you know, just tattled on her and went on about her, you wouldn't go to her bakery. So you was preventing her from making a living. Now if we can't overcome some of the things in our life, then are we really living for God? I'm just asking. Huh? Don't we really need to be more of an overcomer? It just seems to me, and I may be way off base, it could be the pain medicine. But I haven't taken anything. I haven't taken anything since 6 o'clock last night, so I should be good. All right, and I cut it in half. All right, but if Jesus really won the victory, then we need to learn to walk in it. Amen. Amen. And we need to be overcoming things. Amen. It's not Christianity is not about simply being forgiven of your sins and getting to heaven. Christianity is about having a relationship with God and the Son. Eternal life, you heard me say it 1,000 times, eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son right here, right now. You've heard me say many times, I need him in my marriage, I need him in my finances, I need him right now. When I get to heaven, heaven will take care of that, right? But I need him right now, and I need him in my life right now to be an overcomer. I guess God got me to the point where I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? Yeah. I mean, we can make the excuse we're getting older and we just don't feel like it, or we can try to do something about it and be an overcomer in this life. We all have things in our life that we need to overcome. Mm-hmm. Amen? And I'm not going to start calling them out. All I'm going to do is give you a message this morning that the victory has been won. Amen. You in John 16? Yes. John 16. And I want to go, we're going to start in verse 25. Verse 25 says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. What? I don't know why they translated figurative language. He spoke to them in parables. That makes a lot more sense. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figurative speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. But this we believe, that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now the word tribulation in the Greek there is the word thlepsis. And it really carries the idea of when you were trying to torture someone, you would tie them down and you would gently set a large stone on them to the point that you wouldn't crush them, but it would slowly suffocate them. The Romans didn't invent torture, but they definitely perfected it, okay? So that's the kind of pressure he's talking about. How many know life brings pressure? Amen. This world brings pressure, does it not? Yes, huh? How many know that some of the pressure we have on us has been self-inflicted? Me taking four diabetes medicines, that's on me. I had a doctor tell me years ago, "You ate your way in there, son, you can eat your way out." I said, "Doc, it's a whole lot easier eating my way in than it's going to be eating my way out." 4 medicines later, same doctors tell me, same thing. Amen? But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, I had Vanna, Bernie, our version, right? This is the Greek word for overcomer. I'm not a Greek scholar. Nin Nikea. And you see the word Nike. Okay. In there, right? Yes. Means victory. But when I got to looking it up, excuse me. You know, my throat hurts worse than my shoulder where they put that tube down here. So I'll try to keep going here. Here we go. Now I want you to see something about Jesus' victory. And the reason this word is used here, they're trying to tell us something. Jesus is trying to convey a very important message to us. And here's what it is. First of all, I'm not an English scholar, but I looked it up yesterday. This word is a verb. It's an action, victory. Okay, I just said it right there, Jackie. Thank you, dear. Or to be victorious, but it's a verb. It's an action word, all right? And it's in the perfect tense or complete tense. What's that mean? That means it's finished. You don't have to add anything to it. And it means this. It describes a completed action in the past that has continuing impact in the present. Amen? Thank you. Thanks. So let me read that again. It's a verb. It's a complete perfect tense, and it's describing a completed action in the past that has continuing impact in the present. In other words, Jesus' victory at Calvary, through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection, was a completed action. Okay? It's a completed victory that it was something that happened in the past, but it is continuing in our lives right now. Amen. Does that make any sense? So when you say I can't or I won't, then you're diminishing the victory that Jesus has overcome. Amen. Amen. None of us has ever had to face death like Jesus had to face death, right? But yet he overcome. Not only did he overcome, but he gives us the victory. Because now when we're blood-bought and born again, filled with his spirit, we're filled with his spirit, right? He is an overcomer, and now he's in us. We just have to walk out the victory. All right, turn with me to 1 John. First John chapter 4. We'll start in chapter 4. That's towards the back of your Bible. First John chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 17. And it's page 1788. Bernie's on it. 1788. Verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John, it's in the back. It's in the back. Towards Revelations, 1788. We'll get it here. We'll find it. Help him, somebody. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world, in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now let's talk about this for a second. There are certain things that people, when you talk about being an overcomer, you know, I'm talking about defeating my eating habits, okay? But somebody might be fearful of something, worried about something. You know, my mom's a great woman of faith and power until it comes to her kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She has worried and fretted about me having shoulder surgery at a small hospital for 2 weeks. She's been telling Caleb every day, "Oh, I wish your grandpa would go to a bigger hospital." Oh. Well, I don't, just cause, hey, it's because the hospital's bigger don't mean it's better, okay? I like that hospital. I get great care at that hospital. I like the doctors. I, you know, but she worries. Yeah. And there's some people who are very fearful and they worry about things. Amen? And how many of you know that fear is something that we should overcome?
Yeah.
Amen? When Jesus talked about being an overcomer. Let's think about him for a minute. Sorry about the voice. He was about to overcome death. You know, we have a picture. I wish we had it up there, but there's a church on the Mount of Olives that's got a stone, and supposedly that is where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." Now, I don't know if he prayed there. It's a very special place. I know that. And it's very possible that he prayed and he wept on that stone, but he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." I want to say something to you. As a Christian, one of the things that you should not fear is death.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, really, you should not fear death. And I'm probably an oddball. I don't see death. You know, I don't get all uptight about death. I think death is a part of living. And you don't want to lose loved ones. But dear Lord, if somebody's been struggling forever and they get a chance to be with Jesus, let them go. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, our promise, our redemption won't be complete until this mortal puts on immortality. Why should we fear death? But look what he says. He tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, or mature love. See, as you walk with God the Father and his Son in right relationship with him, you should not fear. See, it's like this. You know, when Debbie and I first got married, young brides are always fearful. Okay, always fearful they don't look good, you know. Always fearful, you know, that husband's out doing something he ought not be doing. You know, when Debbie and I first got married, and I'd come home, you know, and if I was late, where you been? Right. Or if I was really late and I didn't call or something, they're fearful about what you're doing. You might not be, you might be doing something you shouldn't be doing, or something might have happened to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. But as that relation grows and love begins to mature, you don't fear some of those same things you used to fear. And that's the same way with God's love with us. As we walk with him daily and that relationship with God matures, we shouldn't be fearful. Amen. Amen? That make any sense? Y'all looking at me funny today. I know my voice is scratchy. Sorry about that. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Or I'd have let Carolyn preach. Or Bernie. All right, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's go back now. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. First of all, you guys know that love is action, right? It's not saying you love someone, it's your actions speak of that love. Amen. Right? Amen. And then he goes on to say, daggone it. He didn't say daggone it, I did. Somebody says, that's not in my Bible. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. So, love is action. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what? My commandments, right? So Christianity is about, you know, certain things that God wants us to do that we don't want to do. Amen? Well. And for me, eating right's one of them.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. Okay. Keeping my mouth shut.
Ooh, that's hard.
It is hard. I didn't. If shoe fits, wear it. That's all I can say. Now, verse 1. You all know this. Hebrews 11. 1741. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And for years, I thought that was my faith, okay? For years, I thought now faith, my faith, is the substance of things I'm hoping for, okay? But that's not really what the writer of Hebrews is saying. If you read Lamentations 3, Jeremiah the prophet says, I mean, he's talking, he's having a bad day. And Jeremiah says, but then all of a sudden he says, but then I think on this. Great is your faithfulness. Talking about God. Remember, Jeremiah preached when the economy was good. Jeremiah was buried in mud up to his chest. He tried to tell him, hey, don't be worshiping any idols. They said, get out of here, old man. We're going to bake these cakes and offer them up to the Queen of Heaven anyway. And Jeremiah was struggling. But what he set his hope for, the reason he had hope, he says, is because of God's great faithfulness. Amen. Amen. So let's read Hebrews 11:1 again. Now, God's faithfulness is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the things I cannot see. If Jesus is an overcomer and his victory in the past is carrying through to the future, then his faithfulness to carry me through is the thing I'm hoping for. That's what's giving my hope substance. That's the evidence of what I cannot see. See, I can't see yet. I can't see yet me overcoming diabetes. But I do know that my hope, or the substance of my hope, is the fact that Jesus was faithful to win me the victory.
Amen, amen.
Now, whatever's in your life that you need to overcome, he's going to do the same thing.
Yes,
might be weight, might be your mouth, might be your attitude.
Right, right.
Boy, I seen some heads go down when I said attitude. You know, I tell our employees all the time, your attitude is going to determine your altitude. What do you mean by that? Don't want to go there. Okay. But it's true. Your attitude does determine your altitude. Amen. But the point I'm trying to get to is the victory's been won. The victory's been won. We have just so failed to walk in it as a church, as a body of believers.
Yes.
And you also have to have a little want to.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess God went ahead and let me go down that road till I was sick for 3 months. I didn't tell nobody. I was just nauseous all the time. I said, I can't keep doing this.
Right.
So when you finally get as low as you can go, then you start looking up. All right, let's keep going here. I want us to keep reading here. I want us to go over to same chapter, verse 30. Verse 30, yeah. I won't keep you long. I know it's got to be aggravating to listen to this voice. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for how many days? No, you guys are Bible scholars. Either that or you paid attention in Sunday school. So let's look at this for a second. It was by faith that the walls fell down, right? But didn't it also take their faithfulness? Right. See, faith is more than simply believing. Faith is being faithful to whom you believe in.
Amen.
Amen. So God said, march around them walls 7 days. Well, God, we believe you can bring them down. Just bring them down. We're tired. We're wore out. We just don't have any fight left. God said, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, time out. You march around the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I think what God was doing to me, son, it's time for you to get up and march around the walls.
Right.
There may be something in your life. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to march around them walls.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Hold on to my water. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak and Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now watch what they did with their faith. With their faith, watch what they did. Who through faith, or believing God, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You see that? Obtained promises. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You know, when I think of making the weak strong, I think of Gideon. And I Gideon's probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible, mainly because one year at church, I was the youngest father, and they gave me a book for being the youngest father on Gideon, mighty man of valor. But when Gideon's out behind the threshing floor trying to grind some wheat, hiding from the Midianites, he doesn't look like a man of valor, does he? But when the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, I bet Gideon was like, you talking to me? I'm out here hiding. I don't want the Midianites to find me. I'm out here just trying to grind some wheat and not make a lot of noise. But sometimes I think we're that way. We don't face our challenges in life because we're like Gideon. We're out there hiding. And every now and then, maybe we need somebody to step up and look at us and say, hey, you mighty woman of valor. You mighty man of valor.
Amen.
See, if I don't get any other point to you this morning than this, Jesus has provided a victory. He has overcome.
Yes. Amen.
And his actions are still overcoming today. But you might have to walk around them walls seven times. You might have to blow that trumpet and watch the walls fall down. Amen. Do what? Actions. Yeah, that's why the Hebrew concept of faith is not just believing, but it's being faithful to what you believe. If I can believe God healed me, or if I can believe God wants me well, then don't I need to do everything in my power to walk in that health? Amen. If I believe that my mouth, my tongue is a little flame of flicker of fire that can set the whole woods on fire, shouldn't I be getting in this word a little deeper? Huh? Letting the Spirit of God lead me rather than my flesh leading me? I'm just, I know y'all don't have any problems like that.
Oh, shoot. I'm not perfect.
You're not perfect, but God gave you a perfect head. Rest of me put hair on. It'll sink in a little in a minute here for some of you. I guess my heart is this. I want to see the church victorious. I want to see. I don't believe Jesus is coming back for a worn out, broke down, powerless church. And I believe that the problem's not in the power source. The problem might be in the conductors here. Amen. We're so about We're so about being blessed, aren't we, Jackie?
Yeah.
We're so about being blessed. I don't really want to say that. I don't want to be mean. I'm dealing with my own problems, okay?
Yeah.
I'm trying to overcome something, and I'm just trying to translate it to you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just overcome together.
Yeah.
Amen? You understand? Good. All right. I'm glad you understand. Turn with me to Philippians. We'll close with this. Philippians. I really didn't think my voice was that bad till I got up here and I can hear it. Until I got started. Philippians 2. And remind me to read Philippians 3, Jackie. 2 verse 3, page 1661. Look what he says. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Wow. Wouldn't you say Jesus did that? Did he embody that thought?
Amen.
Yeah. So verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." But Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he says, hey, you ought to be considerate of others. You ought to be looking out for the interests of others, not just about your own self-interest all the time. And he says, and let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, who had humbled himself to the will of God, which was the cross at Calvary. Amen? Had he not humbled himself and went to that cross, we wouldn't be sitting here today. All right, hang in there. Now, here's the mind we talked about Wednesday. Jesus' mind was one of an overcomer. Mm-hmm. Amen? Let that mind be in you. The mind of an overcomer. Let this sink in that his victory is still working in our lives today. Okay. Here we go. Now I want to show you one other thing. Verse 8 of chapter 3, and I'll close. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ," or gain Messiah, "and be found in him," Paul says, "and be found in him, and having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul said that he wished to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul will tell the church at Rome The same power that resurrected Jesus is dwelling in you. Paul tells the church at Galatia, he said that Holy Spirit is the spirit of Messiah, the spirit of an overcomer. Think like that. The same spirit, the one we sing about, the one we ask to lead us, guide us, and direct us every day. See, we ask for his leading and his guiding, but do we listen to him? It's one thing to ask for guidance. It's another thing to heed the advice. That's where your obedience has to come in. Amen. God been trying to get my attention on this issue for years. I wasn't listening. I'm listening now. Took a long time, but I'm listening. Amen. And there may be some things in your life that it's time for you to listen to. Or you've been listening, you just ain't been doing. The word shema in Hebrew, hear. It doesn't mean to hear like hear a nagging wife. Okay. Just kidding. What, did I go too far? No. She's downstairs and I'm not going to tell her. You need to overcome that, Jackie. That wife, remember when we were kids, mom would say, look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Or did you hear me? You know, they're wanting to make sure they hear. Mm-hmm. And Debbie will get in front of me because she wants to make sure I'm listening. Yeah. I'm focused, you know. But a lot of times she wants to give me things to do when the Browns are playing. Oh. You know, it's hard to focus. Yeah. But the word shema in Hebrew, hear, means to listen with the heart to the point that what you're hearing produces a response in your life. See, when you're reading the word, you're hearing the word. Are you really hearing the word if you're not responding to what the word says? See, Paul's admonished us. Paul's told us, hey, let's love one another. Let's be interested in other people's interests, not just our own. See, we're reading it, we're hearing it, but are we hearing it to the point it produces a response? I've heard since 1990 that Jesus already won me the victory. Okay? I've known that since 1990. And now I'm in a situation in my own life where, you know, I really need to hear that with my heart in order that it will provoke a response in my life. Amen? Amen. And that's the way the word of God works. And that's the way the Holy Spirit's working in us with his word. We hear with our heart to where it provokes a response. How did any of you get saved? You heard somebody preach the word of God at one point in your life, right? Somebody told you about Jesus. You heard with the ear, but it wasn't until you heard with the heart. When you start hearing with the heart, the Holy Spirit had your attention. Now that Spirit's drawing and wooing you and bringing you to that place where he wants you to make Jesus Lord. Amen? Then he wants to fill you with his Spirit to allow you to walk in his victory. When I looked that word up yesterday and I seen that it was a complete verb or perfect verb and that nothing needed to be added to it. And even though it happened in the past, it's still working in our lives today. If my shoulder wasn't a mess, I would have danced a little bit. It's one of those moments when I was home by myself and I was like, oh man, that is good. Oh, that is really good. And there wasn't nobody home to share it with. You know? Me and God. And I know I didn't do a very good job, but it was far better. If you'd been with me at the kitchen table yesterday, it's far better there than it probably was today. I didn't know my voice was so scratchy till I got up here. I think we have communion over there, don't we? Amen.
That's where most of us fail. We hear it. We don't really act that much on it, so it doesn't produce the believing faith. That is so. Amen. The word amen. It is so. And we amen that the spirit of overcoming was designed to help us overcome. And that he's got, and I, you know, we could hear this, a section of this every week, and it wouldn't hurt us.
Amen.
That he loves us and that he's already made a way. Mm-hmm. And that because he made a way and that he loved it, it's not difficult and hard. It's just meaning that we need to press into it and believe with all of our hearts.
Amen.
That what he's already provided, he will finish and complete in our lives.
I mean, to be honest with you, this church has a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
We know the Bible. I'm not saying we're perfect. We know it all. There's Bibles. The Word of God's like a diamond. You turn it one way and it'll be one color. Turn it another, it'll be a different color. You know, it's you're always going to find something new. But the point is if you have all this knowledge, but you're not experiencing any victories,
it's dormant.
Amen. And so, you know, I had to get to something that involved my life. I'm gonna ask Jackie and Carolyn to go take care of communion, if you don't care. Put that on top of there. Thanks, man.
You want to leave it on there?
Yeah, I'll take it. Amen, amen, amen. I go back to the doctor Tuesday. Hopefully I can take his thing off, put a shirt on. I have two hands to operate with. One-handed stuff. Tell me 6 months. But I'm going to believe God for far faster than that. I don't go to the doctor till Tuesday. Not supposed to take it out of this sling till Tuesday. I'll try to take a bath one-handed. I got that taken care of. And I found a medium for you, Uncle George. Yeah.
Is this going to be hard on you?
We'll just, Jackie, put me one right here, please. Please, thank you. Everybody been served? Ta-ta. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. And he said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. For 1,500 years, the Jewish people have been celebrating Passover. And all of a sudden, in that upper room, Jesus is going to radically change that Passover.
Amen.
He's going to radically say, hey, this is my body. What's he saying? I'm the Passover lamb. I'm the unleavened bread. I am the bread of life. Amen. I can't imagine what it was like for his apostles to be in that upper room. Amen? To hear him say that. That was a powerful statement. But he tells us, when you do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, as you have commanded, that when we do this, we are to do it in remembrance of you. And this morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser or baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King, with thanksgiving in our heart in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. Ahim to life. The Bible tells us that life is in the blood. And at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And not just mere partakers. He said this was a life that we could have. And we could have it more abundantly. And he was talking about our relationship with God. If you want God in abundance, that relationship's available. It's just how much effort do you want to put into that relationship?
Amen.
How much of him do you want? We also know this represents a fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony that only the bride-to-be would drink of. And the bridegroom wouldn't drink that fourth cup until his wedding night. What did Jesus tell the disciples? I'll no longer drink of this cup until I come in the fullness of the kingdom of my Father. But the bride drank that cup as a symbol of her vow of fidelity until her bridegroom came. So this morning, not only does it represent the life of Jesus, by drinking this cup, we are saying that we will be faithful until you come. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Well, stand up with me if you would. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
We'll turn this off. Well, I better close in prayer first. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I just pray that you would help us walk in the victory that Jesus has provided. He is an overcomer, and he has made us overcomers. Help us to hear with our heart, to provoke the response in our lives, Lord, to walk in that victory. Not to play second fiddle all the time, but to walk in that victory. Not to be defeated, but to walk in that victory.
Yes.
Help us to be overcomers in this life. Whatever it is in our lives we need to overcome, help us. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.